Blog Talk Radio.
What? Maybe I should stay with the pod. You know, we're on such a hot streak right now. It's almost like we're the Fantastic Four. What am I saying? It's exactly like we're the Fantastic Four. Think about it. Marty's Reed Richards, of course, you know. I'm Johnny Storm. Flame on. That's classic, Doug. Jeannie's Sue Storm. So they're brother and sister, so nothing going on there. And you know, Clyde is obviously the thing. Ben Grimm and our superpowers all complement one another. So I guess that's an argument for going with Marty. Get to break that up, it'd be a tragedy. Mm. There's no Fantastic Three. I mean, for alliteration's sake alone, you could.
I know.
Superheroes aren't real, most of them. Enjoy. Oh.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Good evening, folks. Once again, this is the Saturday, new time slot, by the way, Saturday edition of the Grindhouse. That is the Comic Shop at 6 p.m. and, of course, After the Radio at 7 p.m. And you know we have the podcast Avengers in tow. That would be myself, D-Bert, the indefatigable Daryl B., and, of course, the mighty Captain Kirk. Folks, it's going to be a hot one. On both shows, I suspect. The call-in number, once again, is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Let's give you a quick blast of nerdcore funk to cool you down. And then when we get to the pulp-flavored discourse, we're going to have to warm you up. First up, this is The Rap Viper by The Word Burglar. Give you the best of nerdcore music. You have to understand, it's nerdcore in the beginning and then urban alternative toward the end. This is Word Burglar performing Rap Viper. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Drop dimes on your mind as I'm scanning your brain. Cobra for life. My parents met at the terror drone. Rocker Beach Boardwalk. Now there's my home. Dad worked at Arco. Mom was a televiper. Was flying rattlers when you could still smell my diapers. Lyrical sniper. Delivered without obstacle. My Dr. Venom at Cobra Island Hospital. Diabolical. My sound deadly like a lobulus. Speakers on my back. Me a rapper. Synonymous. Major blood got me into writing poetry. Riding hydrofoils when the eels used to flow with me. And now they know it's me. Every single place I go, rallying the troops, getting play on Cobra Radio. Sonic Fighter, my primary specialty is that I rhyme very freshly. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fang to the bug to the hip tank. Spring Field to the Cobra Citadel. Across the globe, and you know I give them hell. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fang to the bug to the hip tank. Cold Slither in the Cobra Citadel. Around the globe, and you know.
Okay, giving you just a skosh, folks. I suspect you folks can't handle that, actually. Again, we're giving you the alternative, folks, the alternative. Welcome to the Comic Shop, as presented by the Grindhouse edition of Afternoon Radio. And I could not perform this feat without my own Enterprise crew. First up, the Captain. Captain, it's your time. Let's get to it.
Say
sexuality of any type should not be rammed down the young man's or young people's minds. That's just me saying that.
All right, I see the I see the fire is already in the air already sizzling. All right, let's bring in the indefatigable, irascible, and always correct Daryl B.
Let's just put it this way, young folks. The ones I heard on the way out of watching 42 yesterday, if it was you back then, we wouldn't be able to play baseball now. Let's put it that way. Pick up a book and read something.
I see it's heat. It's heat. It's hot. I actually agree with that point. So we're in simpatico, my friend. Yes, this generation, we would be back in chains. And if you heard the last show, some of us are actually doing that for real, for sexual kicks, but that's another show. That's another show, but that's real. Folks, again, welcome to the Comic Shop. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We see the numbers. We know you're listening. We see the tweets, and feel free to jump on in. The water is warm. All right, gentlemen, first up, let's get into this deal, which the captain so eloquently referenced. Saga number 12, Brian K. Vaughan. Daryl, unpack this for the audience. What the hell is this? What is this?
Okay, and simply put, it's misinformation, but it leads to a bigger story. I sent you an email earlier today with the CEO of Comixology, who's behind this whole mess, all right? So Tuesday, Brian K. Vaughan's got a huge following behind him, you know, from his work with Why the Last Man and all the various properties he's done over the years. So he introduced this Saga joint with Fiona Staples. And let me just say, the book, it touches on a very, very adult themes. But it has since book one. So it comes out on the Tuesday that it's not up on the Apple app. So everybody's the previews for it 2 weeks ago stated that they were going to go into new boundaries in terms of sexuality. And it turned out it was a graphic homosexual thing for two panels. So that was the preview 2 weeks ago. So on Tuesday, people are trying to sign up so they get it automatically downloaded. And the book isn't there on the Apple app. So the comics universe, me being one, make the leap from A to C saying, oh, Apple's doing censorship. What the heck? Apple has so many other things like Tarot and like other adult books on you. Why is this one, why is this being banned? And we immediately made the jump to, oh, they're being homophobic. Turns out, this is where we all have egg on our faces, but it helps this quite a way, that the Cosmicology guys didn't put it up to Apple for review because they thought Apple would ban it in the first place. Just to let you guys know, Cosmicology provides the books to Apple. All right? They're the in-between guy. They thought Apple was going to deny it, so they never put the book up. All right, that's a reasonable thing. You know, you're scared that no one's going to get the book. But here's the thing. Cosmology is seeing everything blowing up on various news sites. You saw it on Comic Book Resources. The forums blew up. Just announcing Apple on Newsarama, the forums blew up. Comics Alliance, the forums. So we're all blaming Apple. Cosmology waited a full 24 hours to release a statement saying, don't blame Apple, it was us. You see it going out of control. Why don't you say something? You wait. You wait. For all the heat to go to Apple, it felt like one of those where a newspaper would print a damning headline on page one, on the cover. And then they feel they realize their thing was wrong, so they'd wait all the way to page 22 to say, yeah, we'd like to print a redaction that we were wrong here. That's what this felt like. But this is where the biggest story comes in. We're getting used to comics on the net, and all the comics we get from the net essentially go through third-party providers, okay? How much power should a third-party provider, you know, have over what can and can't be shown? Because Cosmetology decided, they decided that Apple wouldn't want to show this on their thing, and they yanked it. They didn't tell the creators. Staples and Vaughn didn't know a thing about it, all right? They didn't tell Apple. Apple didn't know a thing about it. Yet, who was catching the heat? Apple was, for a good day before someone spoke up. So who holds the power here? That's an interesting question. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
All right, listen, Daryl, a couple of questions I have, and I know the captain wants to weigh in this as well. First of all, how many comics are out there that have graphic heterosexual content? Like, is there equivalent? Cause, I mean, I heard about this questionable two-panel thing with Saga number 12, but is there a deal with there being more – how can I put this? Has there ever been a deal where you're seeing heterosexual graphic comic book art being disseminated? Like, are we seeing that? Are we seeing that going out comfortably?
Well, I brought up Tarot. Tarot's the one that everybody kind of knows about by former Batman artist Jim Barrett. Tarot is very graphic, all right? It's very graphic. It's very sexual in a fantasy-type way, all right? That's out there. But Apple carries Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal, everybody knows Heavy Metal had – you know, and they still do. Yeah, for years they've had that. That's why when I first heard the news, I'm scratching my head like, wait, Apple carries Heavy Metal, Apple carries Tarot, Apple carries Miller Manara, Apple carries, you know, stuff that, let's just say, it appeases certain people's palates. Why would this, for two panels, be banned? And the only difference I saw was that it was going to be a homosexual scene. Now, again, and I'd like to publicly right now apologize to Apple, all right? Because, yo, my blame was misplaced. And people that work through Comixology, now you have to sit back and think about this. They were able to essentially ban this book without informing the creators or the platform where it was going to be shown. Without consenting, they made the decision to ban it. Just think about that quick. That's the bigger issue here.
What makes this any different than what Walmart would do? Walmart does this all the time.
Well, but that's just it. Walmart is the platform. Walmart is the platform. They know that thing. If Cosmicology talked to Vaughn and talked to Staples and talked to, is it Image that puts up Saga? If they talk they talk to them beforehand saying, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure if we can put this out, you know, I'm not really sure. But seeing as how the last 11 issues of Saga, there's been some blatant sexual talk, blatant sexual scenes, and stuff like that, and that's all been on the tablet before, why would this one be banned?
Captain, what are your thoughts on this?
I think in the long run, this will probably is going to work for Saga. Because look how it blew up all over the internet. You know, there might have been problems with the scenes that were in the book and everything else. They might have, but they might not have been. Not like this. You got publicity that you could never have gotten through this whole situation. So in the long run, now people who were not really interested in this type of book, now they have to go and see. You know? They have to go and see. So on the back end, I think this is definitely going to work for them. This is definitely going to work with it. But I have other questions, you know. why is it, circa 2013, we are so caught up in a society of pushing sexuality in general down people's throats? You know, I think the military's ideology with don't ask, don't tell, you know, was really, you know, really when you think about it, was genius. I think it was genius at the given time. You know, now to where we are now, it's just like it's too much. It's just too much. That's just my opinion. You know, maybe I'm the old man in the room at this given time. I just think it's too much. You know, back over to you, sir, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, we're gonna go to a quick nerdcore break, but I do want to say, you know, I hate to interject race and everything, and I just don't like doing it all the time, but I do throw this out there only because I start to see these glaring discrepancies. You know, I do see the media, the powers that be, the corporate structure. They seem to be very comfortable in kowtowing to a certain agenda with gay folk. And then, listen, it is what it is. I'm not going to really put any kind of morality attached to that. I'm not going to do that. But why is it? The immortal question is, and we're going to go to a break, and then I'm going to Darryl and everybody else to come in and answer this for me. What's the deal with people of color? What's the deal with the Asian folk, the black folk, the Latin folk, the folks of Native American ancestry? When we want to put that out there, it's always a question mark. We don't seem to see an agenda for people of color, or even the respect to say, hey, you know, we didn't mean to, or we didn't mean to go into that kind of thing. No one's ever kowtowing or backpedaling. Very rarely do I see, especially in comic books, backpedaling to simply putting in a person of color, which in my estimation is not controversial. I mean, sexuality, whether it's hetero or gay, may not be befitting for children or whatever. You know, it's not for children, but I mean, this is an adult book, whatever. But I could see that being somewhat controversial. But for some reason, black folks in print is still controversial to me. It's still not being pursued at the same level as I see with gay depictions. That's the part that I'm having difficulty with. So when we come back after the break, I want to chew on that for a minute, and then we're going to have to move along. Actually, you know, I found some new, I don't know if new Adam, it's not really new Adam Warlock, but new to me. Some really cool jams. I found a jam, 616. I don't know, maybe I've had this before. Anyway, 616 by the great Adam Warlock. And always check out adamwarlock.com. Give you the best of nerdcore music. Let's groove a little, folks. We'll be right back.
Trying to build my fucking mansion in Asgard. And from the hellfire society, in the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future packed in my rack. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam deep in the beat. And my tape deck pops, my mixtape still rocks. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake, the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, the freestyle is there the whole time.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking press in the pit. For all the villains that he's keeping on that new face. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616.
Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting the rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite. Watching the wisdom about these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at.
Stop time. Watch your chain react.
Can't lie.
I'm a Brainiac.
Little they know I'm feeling the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shut your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at the kitchen table. Shit, nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm like Luther when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking press in the pit. For all the villains that ain't even on that new thing. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on the track that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616.
All right, folks, we're back once again. That was 616, Adam Warrock. Go to adamwarrock.com, giving you the best of nerdcore music. And, of course,
hey,
feel free to give us a call. Yeah, sure.
Afro Nerd, two quick notes. Adam Warrock just released an EP based on Kill Bill. All right, that's up on his site now. Songs where he used RZA beats and raps over it. And also him and his cohort, Tribe One, are going to be at Rutgers all week in New Jersey. So if you're a geek in New Jersey and you love hearing Adam Warrock and stuff, he's going to be there all week. Rutgers is holding the Geek Week thing. So he's going to be performing, and him and Chris Hardwick, he's going to be moderating a panel with him too. So keep an eye out on that. Back to you.
That's a good one. That's a good one, because I forgot to mention that, actually, because I had intended to play. I have the album. I was able to download that, and I was intending to play the Kill Bill thing. But I had it, downloaded it, and then got quickly distracted. So I'm glad you reminded me. Yeah, you are correct about the Geek Week thing that's going on even as we're airing. It's going on at Rutgers. They're having an Asian panel on there, and which is necessary. But listen, I hope there's a black presence there, Daryl. You know, it just seems awkward that we seem to be not involved in some of these ventures. I know that Chris Hardwick from Nerdist, he got picked up from the BBC and everything. And I've been listening to his podcast, but you know, there's talk about obviously Asian representation in the geek world. There needs to be talk about black representation at the geek world during Geek Week. I hope it's going on. I don't know. Maybe I'm misspeaking on that.
Well, hey, Tribe One there, and I tell people, look at his SoundCloud page. Go ahead, take a look at that. That whole Thought Criminal, that whole family. Mikal Hill, who just did a Walking Dead EP. Guys, I wouldn't be recommending it to you if I didn't think you guys should pick it up. They really, really get creative with these things. And again, if you want to stick to your little Wayne's, and you want to stick to your whatever the ringtone of the week song is, go ahead and do that. If you want to expand your mind a little and have a little geeky fun, you know, Adam Warrock, Mikal Hill, Tribe One, not too shabby.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay away from that one.
Well, you know, I was thinking, Daryl, even in listening to the production on 616, someone at Marvel needs to really hit up Adam Warlock. I'm gonna try to contact him myself. I'm pretty sure we can get him on the show. But just for the sake of the upcoming Marvel films, there should be some of his presence with the soundtracks on the upcoming movies. It would add a little bit of hipness to it. I think it will be interesting. I mean, you know, the way Avengers 2 is being heavily talked about, I think that's going to be filming real soon. Why not? You know? All right. Before we went to a break, I put out this whole deal with, and I don't want to give the impression I'm hating on alternative sexual agendas. I'm not hating on it. I'm just wondering, when it's time for people of color to be depicted, and this is the reason why we have a show called Afro Nerd. Why is it that seems to be the ultimate in controversy? We can see graphic sexual content, and there's people that will go to war over it. No one's going to war for black depictions. When we talk about the Morris Chestnut deal, we're going to segue into that. It has to be whispered. We're not sure. I mean, you see the reaction from cyberspace. Obviously, there's people who want to see Black Panther. I don't know what's going on with Marvel. I don't know why it's always mysterious. It's always weird. And it's time for the black man to shine. It's always the ultimate in disrespect, the ultimate in weirdness and controversy. But we can see graphic alien penises. That is allowed. But black American depictions, or just black depictions, that, I don't know. Daryl, you got to explain it to me.
Well, hey, I'll explain it this way. This is the perfect thing, and it's not even in this realm, okay? Answer yourself this, right? Why is Tiger Woods public enemy number one with some groups, yet those same people will go around and we're cheering that Charlie Sheen got a new show on FX at the same time? Just think about it, okay? All Tiger did was wreck his marriage by being an idiot for keeping the cell exposed, okay, and wrecked his car. Charlie Sheen essentially did the same thing Tiger did, but went on a drug bender and left the drugs out that his little kids could have gotten to. How is Tiger a monster and Charlie Sheen beloved? Let that roll around in your head a second, all right? When it comes to comics, we're just not allowed enough presence. I'm sorry. We are not. All right, and when it comes to comics and when it comes to things geeky, the majority of African American folks look down upon it. Okay, the same reason that we've been talking for years. We need more writers. We need more editors. We need more artists. We need. But at the same time, all the aspiring ones are getting dissuaded as to the art early on. By contrast, homosexuals, Asians, when they go into stuff, they get backing. When they go into stuff, they get cheered on. Intelligence and artistry, is cheered upon, is encouraged by their factions. It's encouraged. That's why when you have crap like The Last Airbender, the original script and hiring policies with that, that thing blew up overnight, right? When you have stuff like what happened here with Saga, it blew up. When you have stuff like what's the name of that actress who gave the speech on the Oscars where she sort of came out of the closet, but she didn't? Jodie Foster,
right.
Yeah. When you have stuff like that, there's a mushroom effect. How many weeks were we talking about Marvel talking about Black Panther, how unrealistic it was? We talked about that, folks. We talked about that on this show for like 3 weeks. Before it became news on the internet. Like, hey, they could have Thor, but a black technological empire in Africa. That's impossible for them. We talked about that on this show. 3 weeks. 3 weeks we were doing stuff connected to that. That's my Black Panther segue. We were doing that before the rest of the thing caught on. The reason why? There's not enough of us that are invested with the passion in the business. All right, and we're not in the business. We're trying to get into the business. We're trying to become players. But there's not enough of us in the business to push this stuff, to rally the troops, to support the flag, to get behind the movement. That's the thing that's disappointing. All right, I hear all these kids, oh, Lil Wayne had a stroke, and I don't mean to pick on you, Lil Wayne. All right, I'm just using you as an example here. And you see tens of thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands of responses coming through and all of that. When the Black Panther thing happened, I forget who it was, Chad. It was us and it was Chad on his show, all right? We were the ones talking about it. If you look on other parts of black media, not a story. BET, ha, 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 don't make me laugh. You know, hey, it is what it is. We could say they're holding us down as much as we want. Can we push back? No. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
You know what? Listen, you make some solid points. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. You're definitely on target. I guess you are talking about this deal with not really having a backup system, not really having an infrastructure to appropriately address these things and to appropriately promote these things. I mean, that's what I really envision Afronerd to be, because no one is really trying to market black intelligence and black geekiness. And marinate on that. All these other disparate groups, whether you agree or disagree with them, they have an infrastructure, they have a system that actively promotes their agendas, especially when it comes down to more projects that have an intellectual bent or have a sci-fi fantasy. You know, they have more of an artsy bent to it. There's something there that allows that. For some reason, this is why, you know, many factions in the black community, and we talk about this in Afronerd incessantly, that no one is trying. Well, I shouldn't say no one because we're trying. But I'm amazed that it gives the impression that we're comfortable with this. Someone has to be the Afro nerd. Someone has to be the black geek, because it doesn't look right that everybody else has their version of that except the black people. It's crazy to me. Everybody can't do the Slim Thug and the Rick Ross thing, because if we're all on that agenda, we are completely doomed. Somebody has to, and unfortunately, one of our main leaders has passed on, and that's, of course, the great Dwayne McDuffie. You know, now we have Mr. Tucker coming in. Maybe he can pick up the slack. We have a black man in charge of Warner Brothers Animation. That's got to mean something. That's got to mean something. We'll see how that plays out. Now, we were talking about this Morris Chestnut deal. Let's unpack it. I have a clip from Clever Movies on YouTube. It's about a minute and a half. Let's check it out, then we'll wax on it. Again, this is Clever Movies talking about Morris Chestnut and Black Panther. Hold on.
Take a look at the comments, and it's soon clear that one character many of you guys think needs to be added to the cinematic universe of Marvel is Black Panther. And if you believe recent tweets from actor Morris Chestnut, he soon will be. Chestnut, who most recently appeared opposite Halle Berry in The Call and will take over the role of Hit Girl Guardian Sergeant Marcus Williams in this summer's Kick-Ass 2, recently caused the internet to explode when he tweeted, "It's time to get familiar with the Black Panther character." This caused us to raise an eyebrow, but by itself it really didn't mean too much. Perhaps he's just late to jump on the Black Panther bandwagon and is looking to expand his comic book knowledge, right? The post was eventually deleted, which caused many to think he may actually be in discussions to take on the role of the Wakanda chief and got in trouble with the folks at Marvel. The next day, though, Chestnut responded to a fan's tweet about being excited for the Black Panther movie by revealing, quote, "Not final, Black Panther may be in Avengers 2 first. Okay, sounds like someone who has some knowledge about Marvel's plans, but again, the tweet was later deleted, and in its place, Chestnut wrote, "Thanks to the fans for bringing Black Panther to my attention, not in talks about this project with Marvel." Another round of posts claimed that the tweets about Black Panther didn't actually come from Chestnut, but someone in his camp. So, do you think Chestnut is in fact in talks to play Black Panther for a possible appearance in the Avengers 2, and he's trying to backtrack, or is this all just wishful thinking and possibly him or someone in his camp trying to garner support for the role? We'd love to hear your thoughts, so go ahead and leave a comment below or tweet us at Clever Movies. From the Clever Movies Command Center, I'm Erin Darling. Thanks for watching.
All right. Thank you, Clever Movies. Gentlemen, let's start our engines on this. We've been talking about Black Panther for the last 4 years probably or more. Definitely one of my favorite characters. Obviously, the run by Reginald Hudlin and also, more importantly, Christopher Priest. That's the book you need to be reading. So I might have to actually tweet Mr. Chestnut and say, you know, whatever's going down, you need to read that those two books. But I think something's going on, obviously, because he even tweeted at Marvel when he was doing the cleanup. You know, the first thing he did was have to become familiar with the Black Panther. Okay, that's a little ominous. Then he says, not involved, but I'm hearing that it might be part of Avengers 2. Okay. So something is, Daryl, you can read, I mean, come on, something's got to be up now.
Look, and this is where the main difference between the two companies are apparent. Of course, I'm referring to DC. Remember, when DC was talking Ben Affleck, okay, it was sort of like this. It trickled out that they were interested, you know. Ben's like, I don't know, it sounds intriguing, you know.
Oh, God.
But wait, okay. Then DC, totally at one time, goes, no, Ben Affleck, no, and cut. And then Argo comes out and it's a smash, and we're all looking at DC with egg on their face. This is just telling you how good Marvel's luck is, okay? Chestnut does this, all right? And it's totally ingenious because, A, Black Panther gets a much higher profile right now, all right? We're talking, but we got, what, 100 to 1,000 fans that follow us religiously. Chestnut has got like 250,000 Twitter followers. I guarantee you 90% of them don't know who Black Panther is outside of Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes, if that. He tweets it up. They all go looking up, and they're like, oh, Mars Chestnut as Black Panther. Huh, this is an interesting character. Marvel should do this. Then all of a sudden it escalates to, I don't know, Black Panther may have a part in the Avengers 2 movie. Now you're getting the Josh Whedon fans and everybody all worked up. Black Panther? Black Panther. Well, we got to do research on this character. And Josh Whedon, after Avengers, you know, he's got, in addition to his Firefly fans, his Buffy fans, now with Avengers, he's got to have like 10 million plus worldwide. So now you have all of these people getting exposed to Black Panther just because Morris Chestnut was campaigning for the role. Now he can all, again, it's the page 22 retraction, you know. I wasn't really up for the role, but thank you all my loyal fans for putting me there when he was the guy in the first place that brought it up. So now Marvel has to pay attention to Black Panther. They have to. They have to give this a little bit more consideration. If not for his own movie, for Avengers 2. Now you have to think, well, we can't do Black Panther, but we could show them flying over Wakanda. Or we can't do Black Panther, but we could do a cutaway scene. Or, you know, they could have something at the United Nations where a ball and you see T'Challa, you know, you have to give it consideration now. Morris Chestnut essentially kicked in the door we felt we were being held back by. Good luck to him on this. I like them in V. You know, Morris Chestnut is a very stable actor. Certainly he wasn't one of the choices we had in the role, but you know what? If it works, if it gets Black Panther to the screen and the quality thing, I'm all for it. Back to you, Afroner.
Yeah, I think there's some ingenuity going on here, obviously. It's just a little bit, you know, okay, time to get to know the Black Panther character. That's one thing. Then he talks about the Avengers 2 thing. Those are two different things going on along the same theme that lead me to believe something has to be up. Now, my only question is, and this is what it boils down to, and the captain has talked about this very adeptly, very adroitly. He has talked about this. When we talk about race, okay, race is one question. Money is another question. A lot of the properties that we would really want to see that would have a black or minority theme involved in it, they will tell you it's a money issue, that the money just will not come up. Now, I think 42, since you mentioned it, I'm going to check it out as well. 42 is actually doing quite well, which goes against Tight, because those movies that are very historical and kind of, you know, feel good and it's by the books, somewhat tropey. You know, the spinach movies that the great Sergio Mims talks about, those movies have a tendency not to do that well because it's a movie that you really should see. You know you should see it, but you don't really see it. You'd rather see the candy and cake movie as opposed to the spinach and vegetable and fruit movie. So that's one thing. But on the other side is this. This is the last time I mention it, gentlemen, because I know I talk about this to death. Somehow a man named Tarantino was able to make a movie about slavery with the N-word in it 100-some-odd times. How much money has that movie made so far worldwide? Got to be $500 million.
Yeah.
Or closing in on that.
It's getting up there. Last check was $428 million worldwide 2 weeks ago. So it's getting up there.
Okay. It cannot be – Marvel would have to be on drugs if they think – that they cannot market a black Batman when you've already saw the team of Hudlin and Tarantino. Hudlin was one of the writers of note for the Black Panther now, ladies and gentlemen. They were able to make a highly controversial movie about slavery in 2013 and make $500 million. What do you think a black superhero with the same team would make that's not about slavery? There's got to be a way to run the numbers on that, Daryl. It's got to be. Captain, what do you think? That's my last. This is the last time I'm going to bang it up. It's the last time. But I'm saying, if there's an excuse that, well, black movies don't make money, all right, a slavery movie in 2012 made this money. Made $500 million on slavery and the N-word. So a black superhero can't make more than that with the right team? I don't believe
it. Yeah, the blood vessel in his head is about to explode, folks.
Yes. 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 Captain, read me the riot act. Does the numbers run on that? If you had the right players in play, and if Marvel wants a Batman imprint, would this team be able to do this?
Well, we can speculate. Yeah, of course, you could definitely do it. You could do anything that you want to do at this given point in time. But there's two things that's going on actually with Black Panther. There's two things. We had the test run with Django Unchained because Django was actually a superhero. If you really look at the movie, you know, there's a love story and everything else, but he's really a superhero. It's really what he is. They'll tell you revenge, killing, and everything else. Yeah, he's really a superhero. So you had the test run with that. You definitely had a test run with it. You also had some very strong white actors in there, too. So we know, based on the test run, if you're going to do a Black Panther movie, you have to have that also. Hollywood likes to have formulas. Now, there's two things going on. They'll tell you black movies do not make money, and based on a lot of their numbers, their overall numbers, overseas, they do not. Even the Tyler Perry movies slow down overseas. But here's the other thing that's going on with the Black Panther. And I really don't have time to really get into it heavily here, but I'll touch upon it. You see, when you're dealing with black people, you have to understand something. Who is the most creative, the most talented, and the most physical man on the planet? That is the black man. Bar none. This is the truth. Where do all the resources come from to run the world? Africa. Bar none. That's why China has a deal with them right now. Now, here's the reality of it. In order to take the world, the powers that be, the mind of this individual had to be destroyed. You hear people all the time saying black people need to take back their mind. Now, here's the next thing. Intelligence comes from the mind. So something was done to this individual. Now, when you start to put out these type of movies, you empower people. This is why you see a lot of times our leaders, somehow they run into these mysterious deaths and these different type of things happening. Because they begin to turn on the mind of the group consciousness. Then intelligence begins to go up. Then the powers that be cannot run the planet the way that they do. So there's two things going on here. We have the obvious with the Black Panther. What they will tell you is that these type of movies do not make money, which we see we had the test from with Django. It can make money if it's done right, but also the empowering effect, which turns on the group consciousness, the mind, and begins to raise it up. And that is one of the things that the powers that be are scared of. So back over to you, Sir Afro Nurse.
You know what? That's correct. That is in the back of my mind as well. That is something that I say to myself internally. The internal conversation is that a super scientific, hyper intelligent, empowered African is a dangerous proposition as far as aesthetics are concerned. You know, think about toys, think about what all this can do. You know, you are normalizing the concept of black intelligence. That's ultimately what AfroNerd represents. When I went into that whole rant before, that's what I'm talking about. Having some infrastructure that normalizes black intelligence, even on a corporate level, or I should say a corporatized level, we sell black ignorance quite well. Shouting out Slim Thug, shouting out Rick Ross, shouting out Lil Wayne. We can sell that very well, but we haven't figured out how to sell the converse of that. And that is the proposition of AfroNerd and the comic shop. That is the proposition. Somebody has to do it. I know people think, well, these guys are talking about fictional characters. It's deeper than fiction. It's about imagery. And I want to see this intelligent black man employ kick-assery. I want to see black kick-assery, because we got a taste of it. We got a taste of it with Django. We did. That whole 1 in 10,000 comment, all that stuff, there's a lot of stuff going on with Django. That we talked about Django for weeks, gentlemen. Imagine if a super scientific black Batman is allowed to do what he got to do what he has to do, which would overshadow the Tony Stark thing. Because there's actually in comics, there's this thing in recent years where Tony Stark and T'Challa, aka Black Panther, they go at it, and that has a racial subtext, which I'm no doubt is keenly aware of. I don't know if they're comfortable in going there. I don't know if that's what, but they can only avoid it for so long, because you see how the cyberspace crew. Well, like, Black Panther, that's all I heard. Oh, it's going down. People want this to happen, and Marvel is afraid. They're going to shove the Guardians of the Galaxy down our throat. We're led to believe that a anthropomorphic rodent can speak. They're going to sell you that. And I'm going to see it. My black behind is going to be seeing it as an official member of the Wakandan consulate. I'm going to run that. I'm a little too much into it. But I'm going to see a rodent speak, but we're not going to be able to see a black man run a country, a nation. We're not going to be able to see that. Although we see a black man running the nation now, don't we? I don't know. All right, gentlemen, listen. More subversive talk, but this is not dealing with an African thing. We've been speculating about this for a while, gentlemen. Man of Steel. Now we're getting more of the same. Somewhat kind of similar with the Black Panther thing, but I think this is going to be allowed. Daryl, you can unpack this for us. Now, there's talk for the first time now, maybe more concretely, that this upcoming Man of Steel film, that they finally got around to talking about an expanded DC universe can exist and will be seen with this upcoming movie.
Really?
Now, I'm seeing I'm seeing more concrete talk from the head of Warner Brothers. Okay? He is saying this. Let me go into this for a moment. We got about 10 minutes remaining. Jeff Robinoff, who is the president of Warner Brothers. I think he's actually kind of a newish guy. Is that right, Daryl? Last two years?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when he took the helm, he said, we got to get these things going. This is what he says. Now, I'm getting this from Perez Hilton, of all places. Of all places. Talk about the agenda, Captain. Anyway. Anyway, the mafia, and they wear pink. Anyway, no slight, folks, no slight. This is what they're saying here. So far, Warner Brothers has just been playing with our emotions when it comes to the proposed Justice League movie. But now it looks like Man of Steel might be the answer to all our questions and our prayers. Jeff Robinoff, president of Warner Brothers Pictures Group, says, I think you'll see that going forward, anything can live in this world. Nolan's Batman was deliberately and smartly positioned as a standalone. The world they lived in was very isolated without any knowledge of any other superheroes. What Zach and Chris have done with this film is allow you to really introduce other characters into the same world. Now, this goes further. Other characters? What other characters? Tell us. Okay. For a while, we were hearing that the Dark Knight movies might tie into Man of Steel with Christian Bale possibly reprising his role next to Henry Cavill's Superman. Now that's been denied. Do the Batman films stand alone then? Jeff says they do or they did. Whoa, what? Jeff says? We'll announce something in the next several weeks that will hopefully position the DC characters and the movies we're going to be making. Now we're going back to the chestnut thing. Were they standalone films? Were the Batman films standalone? They were standalone. Daryl, what is he saying? What is he saying?
Talk is cheap. We've heard the same rigmarole from you guys for years. We started this show with your guys' rigmarole. When we made the change from Max to Captain Kirk, we still were talking about your rigmarole. Talk is cheap. I don't need no announcements, all right? I don't need no bulletins. I don't need no press releases. As soon as you put it in the film for us to look at and decipher, then I'll take you with what you're saying without it just being hot air. Talk is cheap. I go back to Christopher Nolan being interviewed at one of the, not San Diego Comic-Con, but one of the Comic-Cons, all right, where a fan brings up, oh, Mr. Nolan, did you hear Warner Brothers wants to do a JLA movie, and they question, why haven't we done one in years? And Christopher Nolan's reaction was pure, unadulterated anger because he was held back, because he wanted to do this before, and they would not let him. So Warner Brothers Chief, Jeff, whatever your last name is, talk is cheap. Actions produce results. Action produces talking. All you're doing is blowing hot air. Back to you, Afronaut.
Well, you know, not that I disagree with you, but this is the V suit now difference. Now, we talk about the Suits as this clandestine group. But this is Suit number one now, Darryl. This is, you know, I agree with you, but we've never heard it from the horse's mouth. This is the guy that you would want to hear this from, though. That's the only thing. It's the only thing that makes it problematic is he is the president now. This is the guy. This is the ultimate Suit. Captain, what are your thoughts? You got about 4 minutes.
I'm there with Darryl on this one. I'm right there. Word for word, verbatim. I'm co-signing you, Darryl. Let's go get the house. Let's go get the car. Got a co-signer with you. Let's go.
Hey, like I said with the Morris Chestnut thing, this is the difference between the two companies. Marvel is positioned in such a way with their studios, with Fox, with how they've done these properties, that all the rumors and stuff, all right, we don't see all the rumors in the movies, but we see enough of them to trust that they know what they're doing. They have the direction straight, all right? Sure, nothing is 100% beautiful that Marvel does, but you see enough. We have done this dance with DC and the movie franchises ever since Blade came out in theaters for Marvel, and we looked across to the DC side like, well, what you gonna do? We have done this dance. Actions speak louder than words. And I don't care if it's the big boss or the lowliest guy in the mailroom. All we have gotten from Warner Brothers, outside of Batman franchise, was the Nolan Batman, which was great. That was great. But we picked apart those films, and in each film, we produced things where they could have expanded the freaking universe. And they didn't do it because, we don't know. We prefer it realistic. We don't know. We prefer this. We prefer that. All right? Hey, all I want to know, hey, Nolan Universe, you want to keep that realistic? Then how come there was no more than four black people throughout those three films? Anyway, like I said, expanded universe, you want to do the JAA movie? Like I said, if you did the JAA movie tomorrow, you're getting $1 billion. Guaranteed. But
maybe
you guys
billion.
Didn't want to do it.
You,
well,
you know what?
The geek.
Listen, we got about... Listen, we have less than 2 minutes, Darryl, so we're going to have to end up closing the shop. I'm going to
say one thing.
Thing.
Can I say one quick? They're waiting to see what the Superman does. You know, they still, you know, tapping the brake. You got to remember, Green Lantern was just over there the other day. It wasn't too long ago. So they're just still, you know, they're still a little, you know, that's all.
We have a real director. We have a real director this time. I'm just going to say one thing. They allowed Batman 10 years, 203 to 212 or whatever, they allowed 10 years of that movie to be this, you know, standalone thing. I cannot imagine that this, when this Man of Steel comes out, that they're going to let that money stay on the table. They're just not. They're going to have to. I will bet you that there's going to be some reference to something in the Man of Steel, because you can't allow that to be a standalone film and there's nothing, no connective tissue. The connective tissue begins with that film. It's got to be. It has to be. There's no way around it. There's no way
He's
around
praying.
It.
He's praying. He's wishing. Let's see if your wish comes true.
All right, on that note, Dow, always. Captain, we got to go next door. We're doing a game this week.
42.
Spock with a beard?
I think not. We'll be right back.
see those lippins on her stallions?
What?
From Portugal. The lippins on her stallions. Most highly trained horses in the world. They're all white.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You're aware they're all white, or yes, sir? You've seen them.
Yes, sir, I've seen them. Yes, sir, I'm aware that they're all white. They're not from Portugal, they're from Spain. And at birth, they're not white. They're black. Sir.
I didn't know that. But they are from Portugal.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
We're back, folks, once again. Let me shout out the great Daryl B. from the last show, the Comic Shop, folks. Always check out the Comic Shop on Saturdays. And, of course, equally so, for the second half, for the second inning, we have Afternoon Radio, a.k.a. Afternoon, featuring Captain Kirk. It's going to be hot, as always, a fiery broadcast. We always give you the best of urban alternative music and plus urban alternative discourse. Imagine that. Imagine that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to a quick groove first before we get into the hot talk. First up, pot cookies. You heard me. I do not suggest that you ingest pot cookies for real, but ingest this audio version of pot cookies by the great Reggie Watts. Afropunk, folks. We'll be right back. Try to groove.
Thank you.
Become more familiar with Mr. Watts, again, Reggie Watts, that was Pot Cookies. I would assume he'll probably be at this upcoming, I believe, August 2013, the next Afropunk Festival at the Commodore Park, Brooklyn locale. And Mr. Watts is a phenomenal musician, vocalist, as well as, I guess, definitely musician, vocalist, and vocal presence. Encroaching on Bobby McFerrin territory, I believe. Anyway, again, this is Afro-Nerd Radio, Afro-Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. And speaking of the Captain, let's get on into this. Time for
Space
Discourse.
The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Now, the captain is going to talk about North Korea. I'm going to get into it. But before I get into it, let's understand something. All of these leaders that you see, whether it's Vladimir Putin, Obama, the leader of North Korea, they all have something. They are ruthless people. CEOs, presidents of companies, they have to be ruthless people in order to do their job. How so? You think you can be a nice person, a nice choir boy, so to speak, and lay off 2,000 people, lay off 3,000 people, and sleep real nicely at night? No, you have to be a ruthless individual. Whether it's Barack Obama, whether it was Bush, whether it was Clinton, whether it was Carter, Ronald Reagan, all of our presidents have been ruthless people. Saddam Hussein, ruthless people. North Korean leader, ruthless people. Iran, ruthless people. Now that we understand that, our leaders are not nice. This is a prerequisite to strong leadership, now that we understand this. Now, why did Vladimir Putin say about a week and a half ago that any attack on North Korea will make Chernobyl, in case you don't know about Chernobyl, that's the disaster, nuclear disaster in Ukraine that happened on April 26, 1986. Very bad. He said any disaster, any attack on North Korea will make the Chernobyl disaster look like Disneyland. How so is that? Did Vladimir Putin get the memo? I think he did. Now, let me give you the same memo that Vladimir Putin received, read, and understood. Let's be clear on the power of the United States in traditional, I repeat, traditional warfare. There isn't anybody on the planet Earth that can fight the United States in traditional, operative word, traditional warfare. When the United States went to Vietnam, that was not traditional warfare, so they lost. Okay?
traditional warfare is Afghanistan, you know, Iraq, those type of things. What they did with Japan, bombing them. Remember that? Nukes on Japan? Yeah. Traditional warfare. And we also know the United States will use nukes without hesitation based on their history. Now, let's look at the United States and let's look at North Korea. Let me give you an analogy. You see United States as, let's say we're in a cell together. United States is the 330-pound muscle man that boxes and lifts weights every day. You're in a cell with this man. You are 140 pounds, but your heart is big. West Indians would say liver. They use liver term. Here in the United States, they say heart. Your heart is big. In a traditional fight, you will be abused in this cell. So what do? You build your shank. Now, to the uninitiated, a shank is what they build in prison, sharp object to stab your opponent, something that you use to protect yourself. But even if you face this big, powerful man with your shank in traditional fight, you probably are going to lose. For those of you people that do not think size matters, power matters, just look at boxing. You do not see a 130-pound man fighting someone who's 230 because they are going to lose. Okay? You have weight divisions. So how can this 140-pound man defeat this 330-pound boxing, lifting weights man? He weighs till the person goes to sleep, and he shanks them to death. He does not fight in a traditional standpoint. He goes asymmetrical now. It becomes asymmetrical warfare. Not traditional warfare, because you will be obliterated. Make no mistake about it. You cannot fight the United States in no way, shape, and form in traditional warfare. But now we have something known as asymmetrical warfare. And I mentioned this to you last year, something called Cobalt 60. None of the networks, MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, they're not talking about it. I wonder why. Now let's get into it a little bit. Let's talk about United States foreign policy. I had said last year that when we saw all the civil unrest in all of these countries, the wage slave moron, that's what the banking bureaucracy calls wage slaves, by the way, believed that these people were just tired of everything. So they just started causing distress and everything in their countries all at once. That just happened all of a sudden. Then, due to Twitter and Facebook, the truth came out. So MSNBC, Fox News, CNN had to tell you that the United States, via the CIA and other organizations, put money into countries to destabilize them, which is actually terror organizations. When you're putting money into organization and you're building these groups to go to overthrow a government, you're in the terror. That's terror. So that's what the United States does. They got caught. MSNBC, Fox News said, well, CIA has their troops on the ground, and then, you know, they also put money into these countries. Okay, fine. You want the leader to go? That's what you do. Fine. That would not work in North Korea. So you have to do something else. Now, to expound upon United States foreign policy, they say, okay, diplomacy. Now they come with their huge embargoes on the country. Tariffs. They slow down the oil ports. You know what happens when you can't get enough oil into your country. Country begins to die. Another thing that United States likes to do when you will not deal ball, you deal with them, play ball. Your country needs this kind of medicine. They don't let it in. People in your country start to die. They try to pressure China. They go to China and they say, okay, your allies with North Korea, these are these 10 things that we want you to do. China says, we'll do 3 things. But the 3 things still slows down the mechanism in North Korea. So now you know a bit about the foreign policy that you've heard people complain about. The United States needs to change their foreign policy. Because why else would a little man want to fight a big man? You see a big man, what do? You stay away from a big, powerful man. Unless this big, powerful man goes around bullying people. Whether that might be right or wrong, depending on your perspective. You turn around, you look at the situation, you say to yourself, I must prepare for the bully. What did North Korea do? Okay, after the quote-unquote, the war between the Koreas, roughly 60 years ago, that ended in the armistice, they didn't have a treaty. Treaty is something entirely different. Total, treaty, that armistice. 60 years ago, North Korea started building tunnels underground. 60 years of building tunnels. So they're over a 1 million-man army they can house underground. It's not a problem. It's easy for them to do. Now, they laced it with something called cobalt. All right? This is very important. United States comes in with their bunker busters. Their bunker busters are used, they use these missiles to go underground. And they have nuclear weapons on the end of them. They need the B-52 bombers in order to drop these weapons so they can tunnel underground and explode. This is what happens. When you have their weapons-grade plutonium hit the cobalt that's laced in their tunnels, cobalt is also used in the centrifuges of nuclear reactors. It was also used in old-style speakers that you would go to, like these rock concerts many years ago. When the weapons-grade plutonium hits the cobalt, it turns into cobalt-60, the most potent form of gamma radiation. Now, if there's just a little bit of cobalt down there, you destroy North Korea. Great, right? You destroy South Korea. Now, if there's a moderate amount of cobalt down there, you destroy North Korea, you destroy South Korea, you destroy parts of Japan, listen up, Tokyo Mike, and then you start to destroy parts of China, and then it creeps into Russia. Now, if they have a lot of cobalt, which they do, because they got the memo years ago, you destroy the whole planet. We're all dead. That's what happens. This is the trump card that North Korea is holding at this given time. Iran did the same thing. Iran laced their little nuclear reactors, which they were building cobalt. You can make cobalt-60 in there also, by the way. So if Israel wants to nuke Iran, yeah, you could decimate Iran, but you also end up decimating Israel. And we know the Rothschild bankers do not want that. Okay? But back to North Korea. Now, let's say North Korea shoots some missiles into South Korea or over to Japan. Let's use Japan better. Japan has interceptor missiles. The interceptor missiles have small nukes on the end of them. They hit the North Korean missiles that might be laced with some cobalt-60 that they made in their nuclear reactors, or they just might be cobalt shells. It turns into cobalt. Then what do you think happens over Japan? They say, well, we knocked down the missiles. You hear on the news that the Japanese have this some type of flu, a flu that makes them bleed from their eyes, their nose, their anus, makes them nauseous. It's not a flu, my friend. That's radiation sickness. The Japanese people begin to die off over a period of 5 to 10 years. This is a big problem, North Korea, right now. And this is what's going on. This is what they're not telling you. You know why? The captain has done the research over the last year and a half. This is the case. MSNBC, Fox News, CNN is not telling you this. The little man, the 140-pound man, is looking to fight the big man in asymmetrical warfare. From a traditional standpoint, you're obliterated against the United States. There you have it. Take that. That's a jewel. Back over to you, Afro Nerd. Let's go.
Let's get it started.
All right. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we have the captain on the show, because we're giving you information that mainstream media, that they are not prepared to give you. They're not prepared to give you the appropriate music. They're not prepared to give you the appropriate information. Urban radio has met its final demise. Now, we were supposed to do a show about that, Captain, about the demise of urban radio. There's certain folk, whether it's Michael Basedon, I think he's gone, or he's trying to renegotiate, but he's no longer on the air for the moment. Rob Redding, who he was taken off of Sirius. Listen, I'm not even really a fan of a lot of these folks, but those who will give you some sense of decency, they miraculously disappear. The clowns remain, however. The clowns and disinformation and the misinformation, they mysteriously remain. The real deal, or even the half deal with some of these radio professionals, the half deal, they go poof into the atmosphere. So try to hold on to us tight, ladies and gentlemen, because we're really trying to do something different here. Now, time for the innocuous. Sometimes you have to go heavy, sometimes you have to lighten it up. So I'm going to lighten it up, although even when we lighten it up, it still ends up being a little bit heavy. Mr. Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, caused somewhat of a firestorm with his latest record, Open Letter. Let's listen for a moment. I have to admit, I disapprove.
Mm-hmm.
It is hot. It is hot. But Jay-Z going into political discourse on wax, I wonder. Hold on, folks. Give you a quick skosh. Well, let this be, you know what? Let this be the musical break.
Okay.
Let this be the musical break. Okay?
That works.
This is urban alternative. What the hell? Jay-Z, Open Letter featuring Swiss Beatz. We'll be right back, and then we will discuss. Let's groove.
I done turned Havana to Atlanta.
Right.
White velvet shirts and bandanas. Hey, tiny thing that got me, I switched the planner. Bulletproof this radio scanner. Ballin' till they vanish. You getting too much bread, they try to jam you. Boy from the hood, but got White House clamors. Sorry, y'all, I don't agree with y'all parents. Politician never did shit for me. Except lie to me, distort history. Wanna give me jail time in the fine. Let me commit a real crime. I might buy a kilo for cheap teeth. Out of spite, I just might flood these streets. Hear the freedom in my speech. Got an onion from Universal, read it and weep. Would've bought the Nets to Brooklyn for free. Except I made millions off of you fucking dweeb. I still own the building, I'm still keeping my seats. Y'all buy that bullshit, y'all better keep y'all receipts. Obama said chill, you gon' get me impeached. You don't need this shit anyway, chill with me on the beach.
Y'all gon' learn today. Y'all gon' learn today.
Want to start a revolution. You know whenever I'm threatened, I start shooting. Catch a body, head to Houston. I'm in Cuba, I love Cubans. The communist talk is so confusing. When it's from China, the very mic to the music. Idiot win, the Bob Dylan, the rap music. You're an idiot, baby, you should become a student. Or you gonna learn today.
Y'all gonna learn today.
Where the fuck have you been? The world's under new management. The new role model. Fuck this Zoolander shit.
Y'all gonna learn today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do on AfroNerd. Please, please, please excuse the expletives. I was unable to get the edited version because we do try, sometimes unsuccessfully, to run a clean operation. We do try to keep things clean. And I heard the song. Actually, I heard it as an edited version, so I really didn't realize just how much curse words were in there. So that part, I really apologize, because we try to tone that down. You know, we're not saints. I mean, I do like some of my music to have a little bit of edge to it, honestly. Edge and intelligence. This is a difficult one for me, Captain, because, listen, I'm no big Jay-Z fan, but I can acknowledge that there's a talent there as far as what passes for commercial hip-hop. I will give him that much. You know, that part where he says, bow. You know. I had to admit, I was in the car switching lanes with this. With the beat is pretty infectious. You know, you're going to learn today, my friend. But from an Afro-nerd perspective, of course. A couple of things, first of all. This is shouting out to Oracle. This is his tagline, I think. The tangential producer of the show, who happens to be my father. We spoke about Jay-Z, and it is one of those things where you go back and forth. Jay-Z appeared to be an adroit businessman. Then, of course, he's allowed to be an adroit businessman. He's a business and a businessman. So he says, he has been more successful as a maturing hip-hop artist, more successful in being allowed to perform as a maturing hip-hop artist. Our friend Mr. Smith, and that is not Will, but James Todd Smith, not so much. We spoke about this before. He also delved into a political firestorm a few days ago, and he was quickly chopped down. They're going to give Jay-Z a pass because, I'm going to defer to the captain, there appears to be better talent, better marketing. He seems to be getting a pass as a maturing adult. My issue is, now it gets political. He's getting political, whether it's nay or yay. He's getting political when it's to his advantage, when it's more personal. Okay? Captain and myself, we lived through the political genre of hip-hop. And it was very normal at that time. People forget. It's about to remind you folks. People forget that there was a time when music was commercial and sophisticated. You can go to the jazz period. You can go to the progressive rock period during the 60s. You can go to the progressive hip-hop period during the late 80s, early 90s. Not only was the music allowed to be sophisticated and intricate, it was also able to sell. Somehow, those days are over. I don't know how that happened. Somehow, you know, it has to be pretty dumb. So, Jay-Z is getting into political proclamatory statements when it's about numero uno. The me generation wants a game. Me, 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 me. Now, he's lambasting his critics because of based on a number of things. One, we're hearing that he's going into the sports agency business. So because of doing that, he has to relinquish his share, the 1% share of the New York Jets. The New York Nets. That's next, if you know Jay-Z. New York Nets. And then, of course, his I guess many are positioning it that way, his controversial trip to Cuba with his wife, Beyonce Knowles. That's causing a controversy. So he mentioned a lot of things in there, and he also did an FU. He did an FU to, it appears to be the fans or the people of Brooklyn, or was being construed that way, the Brooklynites that were entranced by him because, listen, I said this to the captain before, I thought Jay-Z got a raw deal on this somewhat because he has a 1% stake or had a 1% stake with the Nets, which is worth about $350,000, and yet he was allowed to fashion the jerseys. He was allowed to literally really put a stamp on the New Jersey, formerly New Jersey Nets, now the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, his connection to the Nets made that franchise cool all of a sudden. Now we've been looking for a Brooklyn sports franchise team since the Brooklyn Dodgers. We're talking about 60 years ago now. So I thought that what he brought to the table was worth far more than 1%. But for those who are critiquing him leaving the franchise and by extension Brooklyn, and then for him to say, you know, F you dweebs, I made money off of this or whatever, seems a little disingenuous. And then to put the president under the rug, That bothers me as well. This is something that the Oracle talked about, is that when you mix it up with lower tier folk, albeit wealthy ones, when you mix it up with lower tier folk, they're at some point they're going to bite you on the buttocks. President Obama was insistent on making that cool connection, just like the Brooklyn Nets were insistent on making that cool connection. And look what happens. Look what happens. You get bit on your butt. So there's a lot more going on with this song. There's a lot more I can extrapolate. I want the captain to talk about this. What are your thoughts? Hotness of the track aside. But go ahead.
Of course, I have to mention that. I think the song was impressive. It was well done. Well, you see this. I think the Brooklyn Nets needed his coolness. I think definitely. Obama didn't need anything. Jay-Z needed the connection to Obama. And if you look at Jay-Z's history, his whole career, Jay-Z knows how to attach himself for his own benefit to make himself hot, to make himself cooler, to make himself look more positive. He takes all your sublime goodness and dumps his toxic waste on you. And that's what he did right here with Obama. He pulled the sublime good and then left Obama with some toxic waste from Jay-Z, which is the lower tierness. Jay-Z has done this throughout of his whole career. That's how he got to where he was. He hung around Ice-T, sucked him dry a little bit, moved on to Big Daddy Kane, sucked him dry a little bit, moved on to Biggie. Even before that, Jazz O was another person. You know, this is what Jay-Z did. That's part of his intelligence. He attaches himself to whatever's hot, whatever's right at that time, takes the goodness, leaves them with the little toxic waste, and Jay-Z runs away for all the better. Classic Jay-Z. And it is very intelligent. Very intelligent. He understands that. It's like he's carrying out a ritual, to tell you the truth, because he attaches himself and then gets your goodness. And then you're always left with something toxic behind after he leaves. This is what Jay-Z does. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, I tell you something else that's also problematic, and this goes to, I guess, on a sonic tip, is that when I first heard this song, this was a locally played, Hot 97 played this. The programming director, Ebro, took over the Wheels of Steel, or I shouldn't say that. He actually took the mic from being a behind-the-scenes player. He came to the forefront, and really was promoting this. A lot of hot talk, rivalry with another hip-hop station, the whole spiel, the whole minstrel coonery connection goes on. You know, a lot of hot talk. He does discuss corporate radio, how the other people do corporate radio, this is real hip hop, da 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 da. When he started playing some songs that were more progressive, which is a rarity in today's market, I actually found myself listening longer. And that's one thing that is also interesting is when he played this song, he played for an hour.
Yep.
Literally. He looped this song for an hour. And all I can think of, you're looping it because, okay, you're hyping up this song as an exclusive because, from my understanding, Jay-Z gave it to him personally. But also because there's nothing else as far as quality hip-hop, whether you talk about the lyrical
yes.
content, whatever.
Yes.
That was the main issue. The
yes.
main concern is he's talking about hip-hop, blah, 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 we're bringing it back, blah, 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 and this is real hip-hop, this is real hip-hop. And I found it interesting that your playlist is full of Pablo. Your playlist is full of fecal matter, for lack of a better term. So you had to loop this. You were in ecstasy because you played a song that was reminiscent of the late 80s, early 90s heyday, where this song would have been just regular.
Mm-hmm.
compared to Scenario and all those other all those jams of that period from the late 80s, early 90s, this would have been maybe even mediocre. But it fits in with what was going on at that time. So when he brings back the original precepts of hip hop, he has nothing else to play. That was what's really frightening. He threw some shade on, even said, and I'm paraphrasing, I know you want to hear Frank Ocean. I know you want to hear some of that pingy stuff. You know, he threw some shade on Waka Flocka. I know you guys want to hear Waka Flocka.
Yep.
So I don't know if I can give him a complete pass, but I found it odd that he had a moment where he blacked out. But that moment where he blacked out, we black out here all the time.
Yep, yep.
That's home for us to tell the truth. Well, we tell the complete truth here. We tell the complete truth. So, you know, Jay-Z gets political. Jay-Z gets political, folks. You might as well measure this like you would measure the next asteroid. That's all I got to say. It's not going to herald political hip-hop, because the political hip-hop that you know and love was made out of selflessness. This was made out of selfishness. That's the difference. As much as I like the song, there's something about its intent when he was personally affected. That's all I got to say. And also, the hip-hop of old, the major players were not friends with presidents. They weren't part of the corporate regime.
That's true.
They weren't taking dumps on Wall Street. What was the name of the actual, Captain? The Wall Street Project. You know, with the folks that were against Wall Street, it was called. Why can't I? I'm losing my thoughts.
You got me now, too. we both drew a blank on that, you know?
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The bottom line is that you had that, you know, you had the Tea Party, and conversely, the part of the antithesis of the Tea Party
Occupy
was
Occupy Wall Street?
Right, exactly. Thank you. The gin kicked in. The Occupy yeah. Wall Street movement, as a business person, Jay-Z was trying to sell you Occupy Wall Street without sharing the proceeds with the Occupy Wall Street people.
This is true.
That's who he is. That is who he is. Talent notwithstanding, that is who he is. When you come to this show, we're going to really unpack it. We're not going to give you fluff.
He tried to sell Occupy Wall Street, to give you the impression that he was down. But he really wasn't. I think that is quite telling. All right, listen, more discourse. We still have more show, obviously. The time flies, about 19 minutes remaining. You know, something else I want to talk about as well that is also equally problematic. This is something that I would just say is one of my musings. I always want to give you information as well as my thoughts. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, even though we run a podcast. I listen to other folks for information, and plus there's a lot of good podcasts aside from this one, believe it or not. Very good podcasts. And it goes to show you, you know, a lot of them are professionally produced, Captain, and that's another reason why conventional radio is on its way out. Because you have people who are putting together these professional podcasts that are giving you information, giving you greater insight, and they're very niche or niche-oriented. So I'm listening to this podcast. I think it's a pretty popular podcast, too. I think it's called I'll get it to you in a moment, folks, but I'm listening to this podcast, and it was an interview from about a year ago with Ice-T. Ice-T had a documentary called The Art of Rap, and he purposely interviewed many of the godfathers of the genre, many of the lyricists of the genre. And he did interview Nasir Jones, I believe is his real name. And I like Nas, but he's also he's from the same camp as Jay-Z. Although Nas is a lot more insightful than Jay-Z. I will give him that, a lot more. But he's like many artists, he is full of contradictions. So he's asked about hip-hop. He gives a very interesting response. I want you to hear it, and it is a problem for me, Captain. It is a problem. Because he pretty much puts a stamp of approval on the nonsense on some level. On the nonsense. If the nonsense could be translated and could be successful and intellectual, I wouldn't say anything. But the nonsense is regressive and it's not working. We stay losing. I know I'm being somewhat cryptic. I'll get into it. Let's listen to this clip from The Art of Rap, from this podcast that I can't remember. Out of respect, I'll find out with the podcast, but hold on.
I want to play a clip of Nas talking about hip-hop. I think Nas has this really passionate answer to this question that you asked everyone. Let's hear it.
Why do you think rap isn't respected?
Threatening. We're not supposed to be thinking like this. We're not supposed to be talking like this. What are we doing proud of how we talking with this broken English? How the f*** are we making poetry out of this broken English? Why are you guys bringing street conversation to the mainstream world? Stay in your place. Stay out of there. I don't like looking at you. Fix your pants. Fix your hat. Y'all supposed to stay in the gutter. Get out of here. What are you doing invading my home? Why are my kids liking your music? What's going on? I don't like you. I don't like you. That's all it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it. So that's why I'm proud to wear my shit a little sag. I mean, I'm a grown man now. I don't have no business wearing saggy jeans. No business at all, you know what I'm saying? But I might let it sag a little bit, just annoy a few stiff just because that's what got me here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always going to stay true to that.
And, you know, Nas's father was a jazz musician. Well, you know, incredible. I mean, a lot of these guys got musical backgrounds. Rakim can play, like, every instrument.
All right. First of all, I'm that stiff that Nas is talking about. Let me repeat that. Obviously, you know that I am, ladies and gentlemen. I'm that stiff that Nas is talking about that see legions of black young men failing, not winning, not graduating. In New York, we have a 25% high school graduation rate among black males. Who probably dressed the way that he is talking about
and giving a middle finger and being defiant. So I'm, yes, I'm that stiff that looks at you like, I don't like you. I don't like you. I want excellence. If that look produced excellence, I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't say anything. Listen, I hate on names. I want to date certain women. Listen, I can't have a Lakeisha. We they know how we get down. I think about this all the time because I know it might sound insane to some people. No, I know it sounds insane to people. But I will not. I rejected. I have been at this friends who said, listen, there's a girl. She has all these accolades. She's college educated. I mean, really would sell this. She's attractive. Da 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 da. But her name is Shaquana or some weird name. I don't want to meet her. But her body is slamming. Toes are probably painted like you like. Da 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 da. I'm interjecting a little bit there, Kevin. You know how I get down. But that name is problematic. I cannot have that as a future spouse. I can't have Tronifa such and such attached to me. I can't. Even if it came down to just matters of intimacy. Not that, and I'm beyond that also, just being intimate with someone and then that's it. But even I've even taken it to that level. I don't even want to be intimate with someone with a name like that. I don't want to be anywhere near it. I don't like you. And this is what, and I am the stiff that Nas is talking about, and I wouldn't be so stiff if we were excelling with that look. That look is the mark of a loser. Sorry. Now, the perception, not necessarily the reality, the perception of those, of some within the Asian community who promote intellectualism, who promote math and the sciences, who promote education. You see, Captain, they are also giving Western culture a middle finger. They're doing it. We have to remember, we have to go to the historical record, Captain. The historical record is 100 years ago, 50 years ago, when specifically the Chinese immigrants were responsible for laying down the railroad tracks.
Yes, sir.
The imagery of Asian Americans, or just Asians in general, up until Mickey Rourke's portrayal of an Asian landlord, which was highly offensive. I believe Breakfast at Tiffany's was that film, and even it was even brought back when they did the Bruce Lee film. The Bruce Lee homage film. I think it was called Dragon, I think the name of that film. Jason Scott, was it Jason Lee was in that? Anyway, the depiction of the Asian community at that time was not that of a people who liked math. They were looked upon as being somewhat dim, big teeth. I mean, highly offensive, highly exaggerated things about the Asian features. I mean, they were at that time they were perceived, Captain, as not being intellectual. I mean, the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing. But you know what they did? They got up, they brushed that dirt off, they turned around that perception. Now we are chasing them. Now, some of us would prefer to be defiant with the pants sagging to be, as he put it, to be somewhat angry or somewhat, I don't want to keep on using defiant, but you know what I'm saying, Captain, to really give it to those who are stuck in the mud, as he would put it.
Give them the middle finger.
To give them the middle finger to those who look upon this stuff, whether it's not just white folks, it's black elders as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your black elders are looking at you with disdain with this, and you're not winning with it. If you were winning with it, I couldn't say anything. We couldn't say anything.
We have to accept it. We will probably promote it. The Asian man is also being defiant after having a bomb dropped on them, after all these wars, after all these derogatory imagery from the West. After all of that, they decided to become defiant in a different way. All I'm asking for black people, and especially black males, is to rethink what they consider to be defiant. When he said that, it was a very problematic for me. He's being so insightful. He's being very rock and roll, whatever, however you want to describe that comment. But if you look at it from a surface level, Captain, it's really an issue. It's a losing proposition. I'm all for young black men to be defiant, but you better have a better end game with it. When we think about the students at SNCC during the 60s that did those lunchroom sit-ins, they were 20-somethings. They were late teens. They were 20-somethings that also were defiant to the power structure. Now, that's taking a risk, Captain. Having your pants sagging is not risky. Sorry, Nas, and I like some of your music. I like some of your music, but it's not really being risky. That's not a risk. Risk German shepherds, guns, water hoses as young people. That is what I'm talking about. If you're going to be defiant, that's what I will be defiant about. Not about sagging your pants. Not with a 25% high school graduation rate. Mm-mm, don't think so. And you don't want to be stopped and frisked either. And you don't want that either. So you're being defiant with no end game. And I defy anyone to call up or to send me emails to tell me that I'm wrong. Just like the great Daryl B says, my opinion is correct. I'm going to run that, Captain. My opinion is correct. What are your thoughts, Captain, on that, and I like Nas, but trying to promote the street like the street is the way to go, the street stays losing.
Well, I like Nas. I always liked his music. I also liked when he did Ether and gave it to Jay-Z. I love that. But, you know, what he's really saying, that really works for him in his world. That's in his world. He's a millionaire, you know? So if he wants to keep it a little gangster and everything, that's going to work for him. He's on stage. But here's the problem. Johnny, no high school diploma. Johnny, no job. Johnny, in and out of prison, follows that rhetoric. That's the problem. You understand? That becomes the problem right there. That is the issue right there. That is the issue. That is the issue. Then the meme is passed through the whole society. You know, memes travel a lot more easier between, you know, the same race. So it passes through the whole society, and you take what you hear on the record and make it true to life. And what's on the record, if you make it true to life, will not work for you because you're not getting 50,000 a show, 100,000 a show, 20,000 a show, getting royalty checks from, you know, ASCAP and everything else. That's not you. You're not doing that. You're hard-pressed to even get something at Mickey D's, Wall Bounds, Home Depot. So it's not going to work. That's the problem there. So what he's talking about, that's for him. That's fine. That's fine. You know, he wants to be angry. He wants to be this. He wants to mess with a few people. People will say, oh, that's Nas just doing whatever. And that's how you will see it. You know, but when that other 19-year-old, 18-year-old who doesn't have anything going on, he's like, okay, I'm going to do like this person, Lil Wayne or Nas, it's not going to work. And it does not work. And that's what the evidence shows. You know, that's why one of the reasons, not only reason, we don't make blanket statements here. That's one of the reasons why we stay failing. Just one of them. One of the many, because there are many within that pot. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, as I say, and I may be repetitive, but that's okay. His form of rebellion, Captain, doesn't translate to the masses well. That's the linchpin. His rebellion, I repeat things so I want people to know clearly what I'm saying. His type of rebellion works for the singular, doesn't work for the plural. The Asian man, based on perception, has also rebelled as well. He is rebelling as well. Remember, we dropped a bomb on his ass, and he came back from a different route. He took a different route. We were enslaved. We were also dealt a blow with apartheid. And yet somehow we have not been able to translate rebellion well. Not with street ethics. Street ethics, not a great way to rebel. I would even say politics is not a great way to rebel. You sent a clip of the great Thomas Sowell to me, Captain, noted educator, noted black conservative. And it was a interview with equally legendary talk show host Tony Brown, PBS's Tony Brown. And because of time constraints, I didn't get a chance to really take or isolate the audio on it. I will. The next show, I will isolate that audio because I think it's very important. But he talks about what I've said on air a few times, even though I have degrees in political science and we do delve into political topics. Whether you are conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat, black folks looking for the come up through wholesale political agendas is not the way to go. Not the way to go. And I don't think too many people look at it that way. We're on Obama. We want Obama to succeed. We want the Democrats to succeed. We vote, we vote, we vote. And the bottom line is, historically, no one has successfully been able to come on to attain certain economic powers, even economic success, through wholesale political agendas. Doesn't happen. The math, the sciences, the ingenuity, great business acumen, brainstorming, industry, circulating your dollar more than once. In the black community, statistically, the black dollar circulates in the black community one time.
That's the biggest problem right there.
Other communities, dozens of times. Dozens. The black community, one time. And we wonder why we stay failing. Imagine if we learned how to circulate five times. And five times is still below
small
average.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jewish community circulates upwards
32.
Of 16 times. I know it's more than that. I know it's more. I said 16, but I know it's more. It's way out there.
32. They say it's 32.
32 to our one. But we want to put that middle finger up and have our pants sagging. We want to do that. It's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. It's a joke. But hey, you know, you can send emails, you can call in, you can unpack what we say. But these statistics cannot be refuted, and my opinion is correct. I'm going to run that. There's no way to get around this. There's no way to get around it. All right, listen, we got less than a minute, Captain. These Grindhouse days, Grindhouse broadcasts go very quickly. All right, listen, giving you more Urban Alternative as we leave. We'll do it again on Wednesday. We'll try to work out something with the great Rolanda Watts. Anyway, this is new from Prince, actually. Fix Your Life Up. Go figure. Fix Your Life Up with Third Eye Girl and His Royal Badness. See you on Wednesday.
good at what you love. Don't make this complicated. You know it's true.